You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 22nd, 2018. And this is the cool older brother podcast to all those loser podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborn.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And this week, we talk about everyone's most dearly departed Mario brother.
A moment of silence. A moment of silence for the Weege.
A very short moment of silence as we pour out a mushroom potion for our dearly departed Luigi, who was reaped of his soul.
That's right.
A couple weeks ago. By the Grim Reaper himself.
By the Grim Reaper himself. I love how quickly, in response to the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate video that showed Luigi getting his soul ripped out of his body, eulogies were going up online.
And one of those that came up was a Polygon article simply titled, "When Did Luigi Become a Joke?" And then there was a pretty amusing video essay positing a theory as to Luigi's downfall. And so we decided we'd take the opportunity to, one, talk a little bit about him, but also just what other characters out there are just laughing stocks? What characters are there for us to make fun of, whether meaningful or not?
I feel like a lot of the ones that we now make fun of never started that way. Like, I'm not quite sure how many characters began as a laughingstock, right? Like, Luigi's first appearance in Super Mario Brothers, like, he was not, there's no story there, you know? It's not like, oh, look at that guy in his green overalls, what a loser.
Well, I mean, the video essay is funny because I didn't even think about the Mario cartoon, but he's correct in that Luigi was already a coward in that cartoon, and that was 1989.
I mean, if you consider the threats that he's facing, right? Like, who among us is as brave as his older brother Mario, you know?
So what you're saying is Mario is just like, brazenly reckless. He's insane, basically.
He is. Well, okay, let's think about this, right? Why is Toad more cool than Luigi? Toad does nothing. I mean, he has no fear, but I don't think he has any feelings at all. Toad is clearly a psychopath in the Mario universe, right?
What are you talking about? He's so happy when he gets stars in Treasure Tracker.
Yeah, but he's happy the way that, like, a dog is happy to get a treat. You know, just like,
also, he's risen to the rank of captain.
Also, Toad is always finding, like, how the fuck does he get to some of the places he gets to? And then he's stuck there and he has to wait for you to find him. You know, like, Toad is pretty pathetic.
He just gets into scrapes.
Well, Luigi puts himself out there, you know what I mean? Like, he's scared, but he faces those threats.
Even if the consequence is everlasting soul being captured by death himself.
Well, like, look at Luigi's Mansion. That dude goes in there with nothing but a fucking vacuum cleaner, and then we all make fun of him because he's scared? Of course he's scared! That's some Fatal Frame shit!
Why, I forgot what the story was behind that. Why was he even there? Was, like, Mario missing?
I don't know.
Mario missing too? Luigi's mansion?
Yeah, Mario was, like, taking care of a real thing. He's like, Luigi, just go into the mansion. I'll kill some time. Quit bothering me. I mean, it was probably a dare, dude. They were probably pranking him.
So Luigi had to spend one night in there to get the mansion in his own name because it was left by him for his, like, weird uncle Ezio.
Well, you know those, like, horror movie tropes where all of the cool kids, like, make fun of the, like, shitty kid, and then the shitty kid ends up, like, being the one to survive? That's what Luigi's mansion is.
No wonder I've never seen Luigi have sex.
Well, exactly. There you go.
Because that's always the rule in those, you know.
Otherwise
teens are doing
dead.
Drugs or having sex, they're dead.
That's why Peach was always kidnapped.
I mean, it's weird though. Like, I feel like the Luigi sucks meme has never been something that has been top of my mind. To me, Luigi has just been more like just bumbling, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, incompetent rather than, you know, shitty.
I find, this is Brian Gilbert, I believe, putting together this video, but I find that his approach to the history of Luigi is interesting because it finds all of these things, like, the Mario cartoon, or some of the, like, really old games where Luigi's always just kind of like a bumbling idiot. And I wonder also partially if that's somewhat based on like Charlie Chaplin, who's like a sort of tall, lanky, bumbling kind of character.
Yeah.
But even those, though, like, I don't know how many people ever actually watched the Mario cartoons. Like, I think for most people, Luigi has just always been this way. It's not like Luigi suddenly became a laughingstock at some specific moment. I think the thing that's changed is the fact that the community as a whole has embraced it and increased it, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And specifically, I think we should blame the year of Luigi.
Because that's when Nintendo took like this huge financial loss and really, well, I mean, I don't know. You could argue that it's like the presidential cycle where whatever happens in a current president's term is probably the result of actions in the former one's administration.
I mean, I'm not blaming Luigi for Nintendo's disastrous financial loss that year. What I'm saying is, I think when Nintendo says this is the year of Luigi, and correct me if I'm wrong, was this the first year of Nintendo ever did? I think it was, right?
Maybe.
It's did the first one I remember.
With like the Wii, like the year of motion or something like that.
The year of Toad. Yeah. I don't think so. So my point, though, is it puts a sudden eye on Luigi. Why do you deserve a year, Luigi? Oh. What the fuck? What have you done, Weege?
So the stakes were so high that
yes,
he could only fall, basically.
It's instantly comical, right? Like to call something, and it's not even the month of Luigi. It's not like, you know, November is Luigi month. Everyone celebrate the Weege before we move on to another character. He has to earn an entire year. 10 months in, is he less of a scaredy cat? You know, like, in what way? How do you measure the success of, if I was like, it's the year of Scott, holy shit, the pressure that is on you now.
Yeah, fuck. Well, I'm going to go fight some ghosts with a vacuum cleaner. And if I jump real high, I can flutter my feet and I stay up there a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of that is going to really convince people that you deserve an entire year.
Man. Did you ever play as Luigi in any games? Like, was that, I guess starting with what, Mario 2 or even Lost Levels, you could do that?
Yeah. I mean, Mario 2, absolutely, because he's got a further jump. He's a little bit slidier, but I mean, he's always had sort of advanced tactical application over Mario, right? Like, Mario is the sort of normal way that you play those games, but, you know, you were mentioning, what, Galaxy, right? Like,
yeah.
Luigi is still played amongst some speedrunners, I'm sure, because he has a sort of risk-reward element to him, you know?
Mm.
Maybe that's why he's so scared. He's just like, I jump way higher than I ever intend to, Mario. Help me out here.
I can't control it.
I can't get down.
I played as Luigi a lot in Mario and Rabbids, and they leaned into his cowardice in that game.
Yeah, where he's a sniper. But he's
so
good.
Yeah, he's a long-range person.
I mean, Luigi, the team comp that I made in Mario plus Rabbids is like top tier, you know? It's like Mario, Luigi, and I think like Rabbid Peach, and that's all you need for the entire game, because he's so strong as a sniper.
Yeah. I did also have Peach, and I imagine that was just frustrating for him to be the third wheel all the time, but I mean, whatever, that's his problem.
That's true, yeah. Get over it.
Get over it, Luigi.
Find a girlfriend, Weege.
I feel like the other... Let's see. I'm trying to think of his skills compared to everyone else. Like Mario
Kart.
Did
you ever play him in Smash?
Never plays Luigi. Smash, no, because he's floatier. Like if I were to pick one, I would pick Mario. And honestly, like if I watch the tournaments, you do see Mario's, in my opinion, more than you see Luigi's.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, Luigi's not bad though. He's got that cool like funny dash attack where he turns away because he's scared of all of the violence he's committing.
Yeah. Well, and he also has the most, you can execute the most disrespectful move in the game by taunting, and Luigi's taunt can actually create 1% of damage with because he shuffles his feet or whatever. So you can, if you really want to humiliate your opponent, probably beating them as Luigi is the way to go.
That's definitely true.
But that actually just supports people's assertion that Luigi is a joke.
That's true. Well, so here's my question. Why do you think Nintendo thinks that we need a joke character in the Mario universe? Like, they're clearly leaning into it. You know, I don't think... They didn't say, oh, it's the year of Luigi, and then, like, make fun of him or whatever. But you look at his animations in Smash or any number of games, and he's always positioned in this way. I mean, even his... what his charge attack in Smash launches him head first into an enemy. Like it is it is a Pratt humor character in the very way that he's designed. Why lean into that? Like, is it just for humor, or do you think that there's like, is there some weird like foil thing where making Luigi seem shitty makes Mario seem that much cooler?
I wonder if there's almost like a weird cultural thing happening too.
In what way?
He almost reminds me of, in a lot of anime, there's that one just kind of bumbling fool character, but is still supposed to be looked upon as a little bit, I guess, admirable, or even or at least just kind of, you're supposed to lovingly deride him rather than just say that he sucks.
Yes, yeah.
And that's so true. I kind of get a vibe like that, but it's, I feel like that nuance sometimes gets lost.
I mean, in some animes, the bumbling idiot is our protagonist.
I guess that's true.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think also, in to your point, I think Nintendo has gotten savvier around community stuff in general.
Yeah.
And now just leaning into this. I mean, it's like when you see, you know, the Pepsi Twitter account tweet a meme or something like that.
Well, I mean, I think that's actually a good segue into other shitty characters.
Yeah.
Because while I don't think Nintendo is as direct with the way that it makes fun of Luigi, I think you're right. They recognize that Luigi is a laughingstock in the community, and they're okay with that because it gives community members an opportunity to have fun. Mm-hmm. But a character like Sonic the Hedgehog, their Twitter account has been leaning into how ridiculous Sonic is for years to huge success.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and also there's just so much more weird culture around Sonic.
Yeah, for sure. Like a lot of the fan community around Sonic is fascinating because they've really made him whatever character they want, including a hypersexualized like furry.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, man, they're really going places with this.
Yeah. I mean, and they're okay with that, right? Like, they're totally okay with that.
I mean, but Sega is in a position where they have to be okay with it because Sonic is perennially a also-ran mascot.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do? Like, actually go head-to-head with someone like Mario? Like, that war has been won, you know?
That's true. But even among other brands, like, Sonic... The Sonic Twitter account is anomalous. Like, that is, it is crazy how devil may care they are with that particular character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they are willing to just shop him into random stuff. Sonic comments on every, comments will comment on everything. Like, there is no, there's nowhere off limits for Sonic to just, like, dip his blue furry toes in, you know?
I mean, Sonic is one of those where I think, in my opinion, he actually sucks, where it's not like, ah, ha, ha, oh, yeah. Luigi, he's such a lovingly incompetent, like, bumbling idiot. I actually think Sonic is shitty.
That's, yeah, fair enough. But but what's weird, though, right, is the entire Sonic universe is full of shitty characters, right? Because we make fun of Knuckles in the same way we make fun of Luigi.
Well, there's also, I mean, the entire Sonic universe has the disadvantage of taking itself seriously.
That's true. Yeah.
Because, you know, there's the Werehog, or Knuckles is like the tough one.
Yeah. Dark Sonic or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of that shit is, you never, the closest you ever get to that in a Mario game is Super Smash Brothers, and it's still played as a tongue-in-cheek joke.
Well, so I think that's actually why the way that they treat Sonic on social media is so effective, right? Because the way that we actually see Sonic is like that, like an edgy kid who thinks he's cool when he's really not, right? But then when you look at the way that he's positioned from like a brand perspective on social media, it's confirmation that, oh, that's just a joke. Like, the real Sonic is actually legitimately cool. And all of the, like, shitty versions of him that exist in video games are just him putting on, like, a performance.
Sega of America is trying to overcompensate for what Sega of Japan has put into motion.
What if they did a fake interview with Luigi as though, like, he was out of character and had, like, a deep baritone voice?
Luigi breaks kayfabe and is like, well, it's I've just been playing the character since 1989, brother. And,
exactly. Yeah, that would be so funny, dude. I would love that so much. Mario's not really my brother. He's just like a buddy of mine. You know, we've been close. We're kind of like brothers.
You know, I loaned him money once.
Yeah. Luigi was my idea.
Back in the 80s, Mario couldn't make house payments. He's only here because of me.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let me throw a character out there. Duke Nukem.
Yep, that's a good one. Yeah, he's shitty. Well, he's always been shitty. Well, I guess he aged into shittiness.
That's what I mean. Like, in the 90s, was that... I mean, because it was the Attitude Era, my friend. It was about...
Battitude.
Battitude and attitude. But he never... He's been stuck in that for, you know, the last couple decades. I don't know if it was... I have to believe that some people thought Duke Nukem was legitimately cool at some time.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But I would say it's probably like Sonic, you know, where after a while you realize, oh man, we are not aging well. What do we do? Let's embrace it. Let's point out how comical and over the top it is. And now it's like, oh, it's kind of cool again because we know we're not cool.
I feel like Duke Nukem never made that turn.
Not successfully, yeah. The problem is that last Duke Nukem game, which wasn't good.
And it was playing it pretty much straight, where it's like there was no self-awareness around that.
Yeah, versus, say, Doom, where there's an incredible amount of self-awareness, and actually it's legitimately fun to play, so he is kind of cool, ipso facto.
Or Wolfenstein. Crazy that, like, B.J. Blazkowicz is now an actual character.
Yeah, the full shift. Yeah, that's nuts. You know why? Because we love anyone who fucks up Nazis.
Yes. He stuck to his guns, his
literal massive guns, yeah.
And finally, he's now the hero we need in this day and age.
I think that the Wolfenstein transformation, though, is really interesting. Like, just from a brand perspective, to make that shift where you both accept the fact that, like, you're a franchise that's steeped in something that hasn't aged well, update it, and then actually embrace the sort of weird relevance of like white nationalism in America today, to then come out with a game that's actually not only super fun, but an interesting story, like all tied up into it. That's crazy. That's really impressive.
Yeah. And also terrible, but hey, make hay while the sun shines, I guess.
I would also say that almost every single Final Fantasy character is shitty in some way, shape, or form. I like, genuinely, I think that franchise lends itself so well to being ridiculed because I think similarly it takes itself very seriously, right?
Yeah.
I think the two examples that stand out in my mind that have earned a lot of ridicule over the years is Squall from Final Fantasy VIII because he's like a whiny emo, like,
yeah, he's like dude. A weird emo, yeah.
Which is, I mean, and in within the story of Final Fantasy VIII, totally justified. Like, the whole game is like, these kids are abused and exploited. Him being
emo.
Yeah, him being emo and edgy. Like, yeah man, like, it happens. And then Tidus, because of that ridiculous outfit from Final Fantasy XII.
Well, and also just because he's just, wait, Tidus,
isn't Tidus
the character? Final Fantasy X?
The one that plays Blitzball.
Yes, that's Final Fantasy X.
Okay, X, excuse me.
But I agree with you. I fucking hate that character.
I mean, the story of Final Fantasy X, I think, is actually pretty good. Like, you know, his dad, all this, like, parent-dad drama. But, I mean, he just looks like a teen heartthrob, you know? He looks like a main character from a WB television series, you know? Like, of course, it's ludicrous. And then he's also this, like... you know, Blitzball champion, which itself is just like such a dumb sounding sport, even if the gameplay is actually pretty cool.
I think that even like going back to his outfit looks like he belongs in Kingdom Hearts. Of course he's in Kingdom Hearts eventually, you know, like, because he looks like that. His American voice actor is just extremely annoying.
That's true. But wouldn't you say that the moment Final Fantasy went 3D, all of the characters, I think, can be ridiculed or have been considered kind of shitty or laughable characters over time.
How about Final Fantasy VII, right? The golden cow?
Sure. I mean, all of those... I think the main protagonist of any Final Fantasy game, with exception being Final Fantasy X2, are all kind of shitty for one reason or another. You know, they're all easily ridiculous because they're at the center of a Japanese RPG, which are overwhelmingly like convoluted, epic insanities, you know, that are very Japanese. And so you have these characters that are like swirling at the heart of those stories, and yeah. they'll always be slightly ludicrous, especially I think when you see them in 3D or they're CG'd in. Like, you'll have those touching moments, you know, like the scene with Tidus in the like pool is really touching. The scene in Final Fantasy VIII where like Squall is dancing, like there's all of these really memorable scenes of these characters being great. But when you look at them in marketing, or when you think about them, or when you see people make fun of them, you know exactly why.
Yeah, that's, to me, there's no, yeah, there's no question about how they come across. Like, you can't say like, oh, well, you know, there's some games where, well, also that's the other thing, like they only get one shot, you know, all of these characters are only in one game, except I guess for X2, or actually no, this is a completely wrong point, because remember, like, they started creating like a million different games that are all in like the 13 universe.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah,
fucking Lightning and all of those people.
Yeah, but Lightning is actually pretty dope.
Lightning is cool. Actually, is legitimately cool.
Yeah, she's probably the only legitimately cool protagonist of a Final Fantasy game. I mean, there's no way you're going to tell me like Final Fantasy 14, good. Though, right? Like, the bros in the car, like, that's so ridiculous. The road trip simulator, like, that's hilarious. It's so easy to make fun of. Even if the game,
it's also great, because they wear ridiculous outfits.
I mean, that's what makes Final Fantasy games so fun, but also ludicrous, you know? Mm. I mean, Lightning wears a ridiculous outfit, but I don't know. She works it, you know? She makes it look cool.
Well, it's less... It looks less like it's from Hot Topic than the Road Bros one.
That's true, yeah. What do you think about... I think that the idea of, like, aggressive male Shepard from Mass Effect...
Oh, man. Yeah, shitty. Like Stock Shepard.
Yeah, Stock Shepard, but also yeah. Renegade Shepard, where he's just like punching people for no reason. Like that yeah. stuff I find really funny, because you have a game where if you want, you can really embrace the sort of like different environments and the way you're interacting with one another and make these like strong lasting friendships, or you could just be like an aggressive dude bro. And that particular side of him, I think, is fascinating, that you can just like, oh, I can play this game as a really shitty character, or I can play it as a really compelling and interesting character.
Do you think it's meant to be, this is the badass character, and then it just comes across as a petulant, whiny, you know, dude yeah. bro? Yeah. Yes. Or is it meant to come across like a petulant dude bro?
I think they're meant to, and I think this is especially evident in Mass Effect 2 with some of the like Krogan stuff. But I think you're meant to select both Renegade and Paragon depending on the circumstance. But the result is, if you only select Renegade, you're just so consistently a douchebag that you don't have any depth, you know? Like, you are given the power to decide whether or not you're just an asshole. And in yes. fact, I remember someone made a YouTube video where they patched together all of the scenes where all Shepard did was just punch someone in the face. Like, even made fun of it in Mass Effect 3 with the news reporter, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Where they, like, mm-hmm. duck because they think they're going to be punched.
Do you remember Raiden from the Metal Gear series?
Yeah, that's, yep. Mm-hmm.
So Raiden made a crazy turn. I mean, everyone hated him in Metal Gear Solid 2 because they were hoping to play a Snake and, yep. you know, pulled the wool over people's eyes. Plus, I feel like Raiden and Tidus could maybe be brothers or at least cousins.
Raiden is, I mean, more serious. Similar. He's way more self-serious.
Yeah, but he's more self-serious in the way that, you know, I was self-serious in eighth grade.
That's true, yeah. Oh, man, poor Raiden.
But by the time Metal Gear Solid 4 rolls around, he basically has been turned into a cyborg because of all of his, you know, battle wounds and stuff, and then single-handedly defends you against dozens of Metal Gears as you are trying to, like, shut down the last bomb.
Don't you think that that's true of almost all the characters in Metal Gear? Like, they become increasingly harder, though. Like, think about Otacon. Like, that dude is a joke, like, scientist who's clearly like, oh, God, Snake, like, you gotta be careful in there. And then he becomes this, at one point he's, like, riding a motorcycle and, like, all this weird stuff, you know?
Well, yeah, to Otacon's credit, he changes. He becomes a vigilante. He is, you know, a radical anti-nuke activist.
Yeah. Well, but everyone, I mean, I would argue even Snake is kind of like, I don't know. I mean, he's a little edgelord, a little like super self-serious in the first one, but eventually. Well,
especially in the first one where he's like flirting with like the ladies on the codec or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the difference is he's a badass in combat, whereas you can't see that from Otacon's perspective.
Yeah.
Because he's not like militarily trained.
Well, and that's the thing with Raiden, where like you. It's weird because that in Metal Gear Solid 2, they purposefully make him a joke. I mean, the end of that game is just you running around naked as Raiden.
That's very true. Yeah.
With him covering his crotch.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, man, I honestly, I think Japanese games in particular, because there's always some weird quirk that you're just like, what? Why did you do that? there's one more character that I want to talk about, because I would argue this character is shitty, but also not shitty at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And that's Link.
Oh, my God.
Because Link can't talk. Like, there's no Zelda game where he's really talking, right? So we never get his perspective. He's just, it's like if you had a friend who all he did was like yell and shout at people, you know? Like, it is comical. There are times where he behaves silly, or, you know, look at like Wind Waker, where he's like a child, you know, and some of the way that he like carries a big bomb is just kind of silly looking and stuff.
Or in like Breath of the Wild, where like Princess Zelda in her journal makes offhand remarks about how much he eats.
Yeah, exactly. Or even the way that he eats, you know, where it's like, nom, 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 nom. Like, he's just really going to town on that bowl of like random ox stew and stuff. Like, he has the exaggerated motions of someone like Luigi, you know, like he is sort of played for Pratt humor sometimes when you explode a bomb and he just sort of goes flying and stumbles and he ragdolls before getting up again. And then there are the moments where he's heroic and he's like riding on Epona and shooting arrows and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's a character that I think is just so damn well done, because he walks that line of being ridiculous and silly and therefore perfectly family friendly and a great main character for younger kids. But at the same time, addresses some like major themes and is involved in some like major incidences, like missing the deaths of his closest friends in Breath of the Wild, where it's also super satisfying narratively from an adult's perspective.
I will bring one piece of evidence to bear now.
Okay.
Going back to the animated realm, the Legend of Zelda cartoon during the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Well, Link excuse me, princess.
I mean, he was... One could argue he was the original shitty Nintendo character.
Maybe they based Luigi off him. They're like, man, you know what? We need someone who's green and kind of a piece of shit.
Luigi, you're going to have to be the sacrificial lamb, because we're going to have to get serious with this Link character.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. I mean, but maybe that's why they never gave him a voice again. They're like, oh,
yeah, they're like, well, God, we need to rehabilitate Link from what we did to him. But Link went from basically an Al Bundy character to like the hero of time in the span of like a decade.
I mean, legitimately, maybe that's why they don't have him speak, right? He'll never be as heroic as you can imagine him to be, or he'll never be as comically you know, ridiculous as you can expect him to be.
It's like you can don't meet your heroes, you
exactly
know, you
just... don't meet your heroes,
because they're just going to be shoving rice balls in their face and yelling, excuse me, princess.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. So second thing on Link, I wonder if it can, when you were describing that, where sometimes it's like pratfalls and wackiness, but then also he turns into a badass.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Dragon Ball.
Oh,
like how,
yeah.
How like Goku is.
Oh, yeah, where they're all whiny and stuff, and then suddenly they like Super Saiyan and just...
Yeah, or like sometimes Goku is just like a jackass, where it's like he really is just shoving food in his face and like not finishing the fight because he wants to fight someone else, and it's like, you fucking idiot. And then every once in a while, he's like, you know, he's like the last thing standing between the earth and certain destruction.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, I know next to nothing about Dragon Ball, so it all seems ridiculous to me. I mean, the character designs in particular, like that series looks so silly, but I know people care deeply also about some of those crazy storylines.
Oh yeah. I mean, and I think in much the same way as a Metal Gear, it it goes back and forth between how characters are, and people start off stupid but then end up as a hero, and yeah, and so on.
I mean, so good point. Maybe Luigi will have a comeback, you know?
Yeah.
Give it a couple years.
Exactly. Give it a couple years. You know, put Kojima in charge of the next Luigi series that we're working on here, and it will all be revealed as this grand plan to basically just, like, pull the wool over our eyes until Luigi becomes a fucking robotic cyborg ninja.
Dude, yeah, man. Give us an Echo Fighter of, like, naked Luigi, like Raiden, you know? But, like, also half cyborg. Totally different moveset.
Luigi has an eye patch now. Ugh. Well, we'll leave the characters alone. They never did anything to us. It's just kind of fun to have fun at their expense every once in a while. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address,
and experiencepoints.net, it's our website. You can come by, find all of our podcasts, let us know. Actually, I'm really curious to see what other shitty characters people had in mind, so do send us an email or leave us a comment. You can also review the show, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you happen to find podcasts.
Cool. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.